I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time. We become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, I think we've got an interesting show in store for you this evening. It'll be jam-packed with information as usual. We'll be talking about 12 chakras, 12 strands of DNA, the gemstones and crystals that connect with those, and for what purpose. We'll be getting into how to change old beliefs, and also getting into tying in essential oils and the power of music related specifically to the solfeggio frequencies. But before we get into all of that, we'd like to kick off the program in the usual manner by having a little bit of japa yoga or mantra repetition. And that will be led by Sri Swami Sachidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari.
Om.
Hari, Hari, Hari
Om. Hari, Hari, Hari Om.
Hari, Hari, Hari
Om. Hari, Hari, Hari Om.
Hari, Hari, Hari
Om. Hari, Hari, Hari Om.
Hari,
Hari, Hari Om. Hari, Hari, Hari Om.
Hari,
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari
Om Hari Hari Hari
Om
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om. Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari
Om. Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari
Om. Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Om.
Hari Om.
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari
Om, Hari Hari Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari Hari Om.
Thank you.
And Sri Swami passed on from this plane in 2002. He's the founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes, and a lot of his people actively carrying on the teachings of Sri Swami Satchidananda. I'd like to now take this time to give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care, and that this material is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. Now, if you're a new listener to ET Yoga, you should also know that I totally applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical and big pharma as much as humanly possible. And that's in keeping with trying to create your own autonomy and your own sense of self-empowerment with respect to not only creating excellent health, but maintaining it and also dealing with issues as they arise. The plant kingdom and crystal kingdoms and all the information that's now out there on the internet with respect to natural healing plants and herbs and ways to deal with issues. In my life, I try to use medical for emergency only, and I try to adhere to that. I might also add that it's also a good idea to distance yourself from overuse of technology, and I appreciate that everybody is in a different position in their life with respect to how much they have to use technology. But I would strongly advise that the position of utilizing technology to the extent that you have to would be the rule of thumb. And, of course, many of our listening audience are also aware of this new 5G situation, have heard some positive things from Connecting Consciousness, and Simon Parks has mentioned that the 5G, some of the dirty radiation may be kind of bypassed in America. Still, it doesn't stop the rollout of this networking of the artificial intelligence, and definitely a situation that people need to be apprised of to get informed about the health ramifications of 5G, not only on humans, but the ecology and animal life as well. And definitely something that people need to stand up and say no to. And I would suggest you check out Protecting Yourself from 5G, by Brad Johnson, and who channels Adronis. That's A-D-R-O-N-I-S. That would be on YouTube. And also checking out scientists like Barry Trower, T-R-O-W-E-R, and Joe Imbriano, I-M-B-R-I-A-N-O. These are two guys that are putting out some good information with respect to the ramifications and the frequencies that are dealt with this 5G program. It turns out some of them are identical to your air and molecule frequencies, and definitely something that everybody, especially in a spiritual community, needs to become aware of, be aware of, and be involved with spreading information. I guess I wanted to also bring up and point a finger towards physicist Tom Campbell. That's C-A-M-P-B-E-L-L. Tom Campbell has got some, I think, a really good handle on talking about the universe we live in And one of the things that science has now come up with, and particularly Tom, is that intent has been proven to have an effect on future probabilities. And I think that's really huge, because a lot of the things we've been talking about on ET Yoga for the last 10 years, specifically around what I call reality creation and three phases of reality creation that I bring up from time to time on this program, certainly this science is now collaborating those teachings and that information. And I guess it's also just a good idea to keep abreast of some of these amazing discoveries that are coming out in science, because they're certainly confirming many of these spiritual teachings that have been passed on for years and years and years and years. And I'm going to definitely try this evening to connect you with some information around the crystals and the crystal terminologies and language and how they relate to the 12 chakras and 12 strands of DNA. And much of that information comes from Master Kathumi. And certainly by acknowledging the crystal's presence and what it is assisting you with, you automatically become more sensitive and attuned to what the DNA in your body is trying to tell you and show you. And you also increase the rate at which your body is transforming from carbon to silicon base. And that's very important with respect to the ascension process and ascending with Earth into 5D. And I might also add that in a channeling of Babaji, on the higher planes, they're calling the transition from 3D to 5D, they're calling that not necessarily the ascension, but or the ascension into samadhi. I really kind of like that take on it. And so therefore, it would be very beneficial for you to work with the crystal kingdom. And humanity is undergoing definitely a transmutation. The high frequencies of the photon belt, which is a large band of radiation that our solar system is heading through, is triggering an upgrade on many levels, including five new chakras, and we're literally walking into a whole new reality. And there are 12 crystals that work with the 12 strands of the DNA, and each crystal vibrates to a different frequency and to a different number, all of these emanating a sacred sound, and this impacts on the frequency that your DNA vibrates to. The first strand of DNA is held by the amethyst crystal, and this vibrates to the number 8. The amethyst supports the first strand in setting a solid foundation from which you can tap into your divine plan and manifest it. The second strand is held by the quartz crystal and vibrates to the number 2. This is about attaining and maintaining balance in order for the universal books to balance. The third strand of DNA is impacting on many of you, and this is supported by the tiger's eye crystal and vibrates to the number 1. The majority of humanity has been colored and conditioned by society's expectations placed upon them. You forget who you are. And as your third strand becomes more and more active, you have literally begun to ask, who am I? And by the way, this show always ends with the who am I technique. Why am I here? Surely this is not the only reason I came here. The fourth strand resonates directly with the heart chakra and is held by the rose quartz crystal. And this is to do with your relationship and intimate family, your parents, your siblings, your children, and your partner. And as it becomes more active, many of you are facing challenges in this area. And this strand vibrates to the number 4. The 5th strand is held by the sodalite crystal and vibrates to the number 3. And this one impacts immensely with your throat chakra. This is to do with communication. People who are involved with bringing about change as teachers are truly activating their 5th strand of DNA like there's no tomorrow. It's become a very strong strand because as you move out of old age, of limitation, of poverty consciousness, of victim consciousness, conditional love, and lust consciousness, the throat chakra is becoming more active. The 6th strand is held by the citrine and vibrates to the number 6. This is connected to the sun, as well as your higher self's energy and your soul energy. This strand is responsible for showing you where you have disconnected yourself on a soul level. It shows you loud and clear where you have given your power to your lower ego. As you activate this strand, it is about reuniting all of these aspects of yourself so you can live your life in balance, uniting the masculine and feminine energies. The 7th strand of DNA is held by the labradorite crystal and vibrates to the number 9. This particular strand of DNA is affecting your abilities to communicate telepathically. You could say this is the magic wand you have been looking for, and it has been inside of you all along. By consciously focusing on aligning yourself with this strand, you begin to learn the mechanics of manifesting miracles and magic in your life. The 7th strand of DNA also broadens the imagination's ability to tap into higher levels of consciousness. And many of the new children are masters of utilizing the 7th strand. The 8th strand of DNA vibrates with the pyrite crystal and vibrates to the number 8. And this is connected to the solar plexus chakra. The 8th strand of DNA is about looking at your emotional foundation. It forces you to look at the boundaries that you have set. And those of you who are going through deep challenges at this time with regards to looking at boundaries you're working with, this is the 8th strand of DNA. The 9th strand vibrates to the crystal sodalite, and the number is 4. The 9th strand asks you to decide between love and fear, knowledge and ignorance, wisdom and denial. The 9th strand forces you to say yes or no. It shows you that there is no gray area anymore. You either are or you are not. You are following a path of healing or you are not. You could say the 9th strand of DNA does not have much of a sense of humor. The 10th strand of DNA vibrates to the crystal by the name of rhodochrosite, and the number is 1. And the 10th strand is about addressing all the belief structures you have adopted from your father. If your biological father was not part of your life, these belief systems are still affecting you because you are genetically coded with the information. So you will need to look at your childhood and try to reflect or remember anything about your father, your stepfather, or any father figure as such. And this will show you exactly where in your life you are sabotaging yourself. The 11th chakra is held by the crystal charoite, that's C-H-A-R-O-I-T-E. And this is the chakra that motivates you to persevere so that you can master yourself, so that you can graduate from the University of Life with distinctions. When you are working with your 11th strand, you are actually searching for your divine purpose. You are adamant to find out why you are here, and this automatically sets in motion a chain reaction of experiences that will show you what is no longer supporting you and what is, and in what way it offers you the same challenge as the ninth strand. Do you want it or don't you? Are you going to change or are you going to remain in your comfort zone? In order to master yourself, you need to be courageous enough to admit to and acknowledge what is no longer a part of you and what no longer serves you and what you are afraid of. And the 12th strand of DNA is held by the pure white selenite or quartz crystals and vibrates to the number 4 as well. This is when you come to the end of cycles. Whenever you are faced with a life-changing experience, the crossroads, so to speak, know that you are working with the 12th strand of DNA issues. This is where the soul steps in, where spirit takes over, and you can call it fate or you can call it destiny, and it takes you where you must be. It's like everything becomes completely out of your control, and the only choice you have is to surrender. You can only carry on and fight it if you want to, but you will get tired, so it's rather to surrender to it. And that information comes from Master Kuthumi, and I think it's a very a powerful avenue to work with the Crystal Kingdom. And time permitting, I'm going to give some more detailed information around the Andara crystals, which in my opinion is the highest frequency on the planet in terms of pretty much anything. And also I'm a big fan of Moldavite. I wear a chunk of Moldavite 24/7. So those are kind of a good starting point to get involved with the frequencies of the 12 chakras and the gemstones and crystals that link to them and some of the issues that are connected with those stones. I'd like to now shift gears a little bit and get into how to change beliefs because your emotions are the key. And when you feel an idea you don't prefer, like fear, self-doubt, sorrow, sadness, etc., the first thing is not to ignore or suppress it, but to feel it fully and own it, because you cannot change what you do not own. So just recognize, acknowledge, and own it. Then ask yourself this question: what would I have to believe is true about my relationship to this situation in order to feel this way, to react like this? Your higher mind will help you find the beliefs that are generating that emotional experience. Next, as soon as you identify the belief, it is gone. Because any belief, any definition that you consciously identify that is out of alignment with your true self, when you identify it, it will automatically appear illogical and nonsensical. It won't make sense. That's how you know it's out of alignment with your true self. So as soon as you identify the belief that is out of alignment, it will automatically appear illogical to hold on to it, and in that second, you will no longer have it. Believing in your ability to change beliefs is the key that unlocks you and allows you to create the reality you prefer, which again we do by getting in touch with the belief that is creating our current reality and replacing it with the belief we prefer, thus generating the reality we want. Now, I want to get into a little bit of specifics here of a couple of techniques that are very useful in terms of reprogramming old beliefs. And as I mentioned previously on ET Yoga, in my estimation, the first level of reality creation is definitely exploring your current beliefs. And most of the people like downloading beliefs from their original caregivers until they're 6 or 7 years old. And you've got these downloaded beliefs, and you need to thank your original caregivers for all these wonderful ideas and beliefs they've given you. On the other hand, if there are some of those beliefs that no longer serve you, you need to become aware of them. This is part of your maturing process and part of your inner spiritual work. And, of course, this is all connected to the idea that it's your beliefs, your emotions, your intentions, your definitions that create the outer reality that you experience. It's a perfect reflection of those. You can't even experience anything in the third dimension unless you're a frequency match for it. So this is just fundamental to this whole idea and why you would want to spend time reprogramming an old belief, because you may find that some of these beliefs no longer serve you. So the idea being, in a seven-step process, number one, acknowledge that or own the fear or the pattern. Number two, ask the question, what keeps me believing in that fear? What will happen if I let it go of it? What is the payoff for keeping it? And there always is one. What do I get to do or not do if I keep the fear? And the truth is that a pattern or a belief can never be changed as long as you really believe that changing is more fearful than keeping it. Number three, decide if this pattern serves you anymore. Decide if you want to keep the program or change it. If you decide to keep it, observe why without judgment. Four, if you decide to change it, decide what you want to change it to be. Be specific. You must decide on a new belief, a choice for a new perception. If you willingly choose to believe in a new reality, you can eliminate fear. Number five, state your intention, what you intend to create. So you're going to say, I intend this or that. Your intention must include willingness to allow the change in your life. Then step number six, ask spirit or your higher self for guidance, then release control of the manifestation of the intent to spirit. And seven, trust. Fears and erroneous beliefs have supported us, and we tend to want to hold on to them through our anger or other emotional reactions because it's the only way of life we've known. Fears can be survival tools, but will keep us locked in a lower vibration that doesn't help our life in a positive way. So this is a seven-step program for how to reprogram an old belief. And, of course, if you're not taking shorthand, you may not have caught all those points. So I would highly suggest you check out the archives of this program because they're for free. There's no strings attached. And an easy way to do that is go to my website at etyoga.com, and on the main page is a button called Radio Archives. You just hit that one button, and bang, there you are with the latest programs. And, well, all you need is today's date. And these archives are usually available on the Monday after the Saturday program. So then you can take your time and go through and you can write down all the names of those crystals and the chakras and the DNA strands, and you can write down these 7 points on how to reprogram an old belief. And another technique that I picked up from Bashar was one idea here is to become aware of the belief, and then in your mind's eye, you can see the belief as being plugged into like a light bulb. And what you're going to do in your mind's eye is you just unplug the old belief and then you plug in the new belief. And of course you need to be specific as what you want to change to, and then see that light bulb as lighting up. So this is another process to reinforce this basic idea about changing old beliefs. And to me, like in all types of spiritual progress, the core here is still deservability. You need to do your homework and make sure that you are good in the area of deservability, or you'll have very minimal effects and success with doing reality creation techniques. So the idea here being that, you know, the whole world was created from unconditional love, and you are unconditionally loved. And clearly, that's the feeling that you want to have as a human being. And when you start doing things like a reality creation, and I consider that changing core beliefs is the step one in terms of reality creation, because you can, when you effectively change your beliefs, you're going to change the reflection that you're going to get from the outer world. And a further little technique there is that it's kind of like if you were at the Grand Canyon and shouting out, let's say, belief number one, belief number one, and it echoes back, belief number one, belief number one. Even when you change change to a new belief, which would be belief number two, you'll notice that when you say belief number two, it's still going to be, you're still going to hear the echoes of belief number one coming back for a while before belief number two kicks in. And a lot of people misinterpret that it's not working. Just because your outer environment's not reflecting something different right away, immediately, doesn't mean that the process isn't happening. In fact, the point is that if you continue to hold on to your new belief, even though your outer world is not reflecting it immediately, it even more confirms the fact that you really have changed in your own mind your belief. And as long as you stick to your guns and stick to your new belief, you will find that in time the universe has no choice but to reflect that new belief. So that's kind of a fine-tuning tip in this area. And now I'd like to move on to mention something about essential oils, because clinical research is showing that essential oils have the highest frequency of any natural substance known to man, and that these oils can create an environment in which bacteria, virus, fungus cannot survive. When essential oils are applied topically, anywhere on the skin, they will travel throughout the body, affecting every cell in the body, including the hair, within seconds. I think that's a very important thing, and I know I have friends that the only tool they really use in terms of healing are the essential oils. The absolutely phenomenal results in many, many areas, and I highly suggest you check that out. And apparently Turkish rose is the highest of the frequency of the essential oils. And I'd now like to move on to share some information about music, because it can also be another powerful tool in support of your spiritual journey. Music and sound can be very powerful transformers and a very interesting tool for the human body and the soul. However, information has come to light in recent years that our modern-day musical scale has been robbed of its vast potential for healing and transformation. And there was once an even more powerful, time-honored tonal scale known as the original solfeggio frequencies. And their energies date back to ancient times when they were sung in the Gregorian chants during religious ceremonies in churches of that time period. But strangely, around 1050 AD, they mysteriously disappeared. And apparently the combination of these sacred tones and the Latin intonation had the power to penetrate deep into the recesses of the subconscious mind and promote a great healing and transformation. These solfeggio frequencies contain six pure tonal notes, which were used to make up the ancient musical scale until they were altered by the Catholic Church and Pope Gregory. The Church claims they have lost 152 of these Gregorian chants. One of these sacred chants, known as the Hymn to St. John the Baptist, has reemerged and now can be found on a few select CD releases. So I would suggest you can check that out. And this hymn also goes by the name, actually it's Ut Quiant Laxus Resonare Fibrous Hymn, and can be found on the CD called Chant It by the Benedictine monks of Santo Domingo. And the hymn to St. John the Baptist has become known as the most inspirational hymn ever written and features all six solfeggio notes. Now, our modern-day musical scale is slightly out of sync from the original solfeggio frequencies and is consequently more dissonant, as it is based upon what is termed 12-tone equal temperament. In ancient times, the musical scale was called just intonation, and also our modern music falls within the 440 hertz frequency, which was changed from the 417 hertz around 1914, I believe. So, in addition, a seventh note was added in the form of C, as in the do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, si sequence. And while the original solfeggio scale was composed of only six notes, in essence, nearly all of the music we hear today on the radio that is sold and in the stores, whether rock, jazz, soul, classical, is atonal and counterproductive in comparison to the amazing transformational powers of the great solfeggio tunes. And our modern music is basically at dis-ease with the human body. And each of the solfeggio frequencies corresponds to not only a note on the tonal scale, but to a cycle per second hertz frequency number, and to a specific color, and ultimately to a particular chakra in the body. For instance, middle C is related to the 528 hertz frequency tone, which is associated with the color green, which in turn is related to the heart chakra. It is the third note on the scale and relates to the note mi on the scale and derives from the Latin mira gestorum, in Latin meaning miracle. And the 528 hertz frequency is known as the 528 miracle because it has the remarkable capacity to heal and repair DNA. And it's also the exact frequency that has been used by genetic biochemists. In other words, when they're trying to repair DNA, they use the 528 hertz frequency. And green, of course, is the primary color of Mother Earth, and because our planet vibrates to the frequency of love or of the heart, green also can be found in the middle of the color scale, as seen in the rainbow. And this 528 hertz frequency, and you can get this, you can go to YouTube and find these frequencies there and just play them and listen to them. There's also a book out called Healing Codes for the Biological Apocalypse by Horowitz and Puglio. And also guitarist Scott Huckabee is producing music implementing the solfeggio tuning scale. And there are now video tutorials to assist musicians in how to tune a guitar or a synthesizer keyboard instrument to the correct solfeggio scale. So lots happening there with respect to the solfeggio scale. And I think even more importantly that sound waves are energy. And when two or more interact, they change each other. So when the brain receives tones that are presented close to the ears, as when you wear headphones, the brain can only hear one tone at a time, but if you play a different tone into each ear with headphones, then the brain combines and averages both tones and you hear a pulsing sound, which is the average of the two tones. What is thrilling about this is that you just have introduced whole brain functioning. Both your right and left brain hemispheres are working together, processing this information. So regular use of whole brain functioning has been shown to enhance intelligence, and studies also suggest that the phenomenon makes your brain more nimble and flexible, reducing mental decline. Certain intervals impact our state of consciousness and produce different feelings. For example, a major fifth interval produces a harmonious spiritual feeling, while a major seventh interval produces a moody emotion, and a minor third creates a melancholy feel. So amazingly different sound intervals create unique feelings and moods. Techniques employing sound intervals have shown impressive results in relieving depression and other negative emotions such as loneliness, pity, and anger. I might add that if you go back into the history of music, actually from a guy named Rudolf Steiner did some research here and discusses the musical system of the ancient Lemurians and Atlanteans. And the earlier civilization, the Lemurians, listened to a descending musical scale in which the smallest distance between adjacent tones was equivalent to 9 of our notes. And this music connected the listener with the divine. And if you think about it, Lemurian was a fifth-dimensional civilization. Atlantean was a fourth-dimensional. And later, the Atlanteans claimed to enjoy a descending musical scale with its notes closer together, yet neighboring notes still represented 7 of our musical notes. And the Atlantean music connected man to his own divine spirit. So, and in order to hear the Lemurian or Atlantean music, one would need clairaudience, as few notes would be within our hearing range. The ancient Indian and Persian epochs boasted of a musical system built on the interval of 6 of our notes. Persian cosmetology, mingled with writings about Zoroaster, reflect that music escorted man towards a connection with the next lower hierarchy of spirit, the planetary logos providing a spiritual experience. An increased historical document shed light on music of the ancient Egypt and China, where music was believed to be a powerful controlling influence on the population. The rulers regulated and policed the music people heard, and by controlling the vibrations that people were exposed to, officials believed they yielded a strong influence over them. Ancient Chinese rulers believed that each musical note was a connection to the divine. The rulers orchestrated concerts with 10,000 players, making plentiful and powerful connections to the divine. In a current comparison, the Latvian country of Estonia sponsors a week-long song fest every 5 years, and these historic concerts boast of 500,000 sound-healing singers, a good showing for a country of only 1 million people, and many credit the historic courage of this tiny nation to achieve independence to the energy created by thus vitalizing sound healing musical experience. And in the ancient Chinese, music used 12 notes. Each note was 5 of our notes apart and was referred to as the Lu scale, that's L-U. Musical sounds floated like the sounds of wind chimes, with no beginning or endings. Tones still descended and were said to augment the imagination. And as the stars in the skies journeyed across the horizon, this changing energy was believed to influence people astrologically. The music or musical astrology changed throughout the year, providing support for personal and emotional challenges caused by the vibrations of the planets in motion in our solar system. This musical feng shui varied as energy and nature changed, providing a balancing mechanism for the population. Instruments made out of the various elements were exclusively played at certain times, further engineering the balancing effect of the sound healing music. In the Greek epoch, the tetrachords, 2 groups of 4 notes each, created modes which resembled our scales. And these modes characterized personalities. The modes were even named after people who preferred its mood. According to Steiner, this musical system enabled spiritual energy to descend to a greater extent, so mankind could see the world primarily through a physical body. Many languages became extinct over the ages, releasing their special sounds from human consciousness. Sanskrit, Latin, and ancient Hebrew are a few, reflecting the lost sounds of former civilizations. Some believe that as civilizations change, so do their languages. in subtle ways bringing about mental, emotional, and physical alterations in societies exposed to the different sounds. In ancient Greek times, for example, children are not exposed to vowel sounds, as the associated energies were considered too stimulating during their formative years. Many languages, in fact, left out vowel sounds. As mankind journeyed on his experiment with duality, becoming more and more separate from God, not only has passing eras music vanished, but sounds have been extracted from ancient languages as well. Extinct languages are no longer being heard and are affecting us. It is no wonder that some high masses are in Latin, creating a holy feeling, even though one doesn't understand the words. And control of music started in the Catholic Church in the Middle Ages. Initially adopting the Greek notes, they later dropped all but two, renaming them the major and minor. Music prior to this period was a series of ongoing tones, and amen was added on at the end of Gregorian chants and church liturgy, creating the concept of a beginning and an ending of a song. But I might also note that amen is also the name of an Anunnaki god, so you might want to take that into consideration. Earlier writings suggest the sound of the first and the third notes of a scale sounded together, so harmonious today was shrill and hard to listen to. And as the Middle Ages progressed, the third became a staple of harmony, and chords using the 1-3-5 notes of the scale flourished. And in a more recent example, the jazz sound introduced a chord within the seventh note of the scale, and added was considered to be, at that time, was considered outrageous, scandalous, and music of the devil. And today, jazz is not considered sinful or in any way, but it's relegated to something like a soothing elevator music. This suggests that the population gets used to new sounds and, in essence, harmonizes with them. Esoteric writings suggest that such harmonization transitioned people's consciousness and experiences. And at the turn of the century, esoteric writing insists that there's music that pulled the population out of the Dark Ages by introducing the perfection of chords, harmonies, and mathematical patterns. And the early ornamental classical music inspired the excess of decorated architecture and dress of the time. One mystic writer revealed a concern about a cold-hearted people hiding behind elaborate decoration. So hence Beethoven was overlit to create sound-healing music that enabled the masses to feel compassion. And according to the writing, charities in Europe were recorded only after people heard the music of Beethoven. So during the Renaissance, people chose music for their first time as musicians made a living from public performances, and songs changed in a way to accommodate the singer's vocal ranges. And as a result, today's equal temperament tuning system was created to allow easy transition between musical keys. Some listen to this scale or liken this to oral caffeine, saying it influenced the modern hemisphere to spur industrialization and modernization. In contrast, the Eastern Hemisphere played the older mathematical scales with consonant sounds and developed meditation practices. And now popular music is becoming worldwide, lessening cultural differences. Interesting to note that the pop music sounds, a rhythmic series of the same note, is a system of ones. And in conclusion, musical systems throughout the ages reveal a pattern of frequencies becoming closer together as civilizations learn various lessons. And when a musical style stopped, the culture transitioned and was rebirthed with new music. Throughout the ages, man incarnated into matter and duality as the music descended, changed styles, and the space between the neighboring notes decreased, from 9 of ours to only 1. So often people have said that time is speeding up, and often I guess you wonder exactly what that means. After all, an hour still takes 60 seconds. However, looking into the span of time that I've just described, one sees that the Atlantean civilization's frequency bandwidth lasted 50,000 years, according to sparse records, and the Persian Empire and the ancient Egyptians experienced the next frequency bandwidth for 10,000 years, and the ancient Chinese epic labeled thousands of years as well. The ancient Greeks and Roman empires were less in time, but still about 1,500 years. So it becomes fairly obvious that if listening to frequencies closer together precedes separation from God, then reversing this process facilitates the evolution of our journey back to the divine. And it should be a rapid journey because listening to ancient musical patterns definitely expands our consciousness and our spirituality. And clearly this is an interesting connection between the intervals between notes, and getting back into these solfeggio frequencies are definitely have a spiritual impact on us. I'd like to now take this opportunity to wish my listening audience my sincere best towards their attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And I might add that if you have any questions about tonight's show or you want to give me information concerning topics that you want to hear on ET Yoga, you can always email me at paperfungo, P-A-P-E-R-F-U-N-G-O, paperfungo at yahoo.ca. And I close out the program tonight with, in the usual manner, by sharing with you the Who Am I technique as originally taught by Sri Ramana Maharshi. And that's where you place your full consciousness in the center of your forehead, get into the highest place you know how to get to before then, do some meditation, pranayams, whatever you need to get to the highest place you know how to get to. Put your full consciousness in the center of your forehead and become that spot. And when you become that spot, you ask the question, who am I? And you can do that once or twice or 10, whatever feels comfortable. You'll feel some energies happening at that point. And when you're fully focused on becoming that spot, then you state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all things.